Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect. It is 1:32 p.m. on Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. Present today are Senator Olson, Senator Dunbar, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Yunt, and myself, Senator Merrick. We are also joined by Representative Louise Stutes. Welcome. This afternoon, we will hold second hearings on Senate Bill 200, Farm and Agricultural Land Assessments, House Bill 33, Conflict of Interest, Board of Fisheries Game, as well as the first hearing on Senate Bill 230, Jonesville Public Use Area. First up is Senate Bill 200, Farm and Agricultural Land Assessments by Senator Bjorkman. This is our second hearing on this bill. We heard an introduction last week and took public testimony. At the request of the sponsor, there's a committee substitute on members' desks. Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the proposed committee substitute for Senate Bill 200, Work Draft 34-Lima-Sierra-1096-India as our working document.
I'll jet for purpose of explanation. Ms. O'Shea from Senator Bjorkman's office is with us. Please place yourself on the record and give us an explanation.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I first apologize that Senator Bjorkman can't be here himself right now. He is chairing the Senate Transportation Committee as we speak. My name is Laura Ashe, and I am staff to Senator Bjorkman. And just a really quick recap first, and then I will discuss the change in this bill. SB 200 amends the statutes regarding municipal property tax deferments for agricultural land. And the change in the CS would clarify that land that is on a farm but is not in active production is still considered part of farm use for purposes of the deferment if the reason that land isn't in production, it's part of the soil conservation plan for the farm. For example, if you have a windbreak, a timbered windbreak on a farm, like when you drive to the state fair in the summertime and you'll see between farms, there'll be strips of land with the trees still in between them. And what that does is it helps keep the soil on the field and not blowing over to a neighbor's property where it's a nuisance or getting into waterways where it can be a detriment. And so making sure that those timbered lands are part of the farm and part of the tax deferral is important. We have had word that there are at times farms where the assessor comes and sees those parts of the parcel and doesn't count them as part of the farm, the land that's in production. And so this would clarify that in the bill. And you can actually see that in the bill, in the definitions. It's on page 3, lines 2 through 4 is the new addition.
Thank you, Ms. Ashe. Questions regarding the CS? I will remove my objection. With that, we will adopt Work Draft 34-LS-1096-India. And is there any further committee discussion or questions? Seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 200, Version 34-Lima-Sierra-1096-India from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note and authorize Legislative Legal Services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 200 is moved from committee. Brief at ease.
Thank you very much.
I call the committee back to order at 1:37 p.m. Our next bill is House Bill 33, Conflict of Interest for the Board of Fish and Game, by Representative Suits. We heard this bill on January 27th and took public testimony. Representative Suits, thank you for coming to the committee. Would you like to do a wrap-up before we look to the will of the committee?
Madam Chair, thank you. And I appreciate you hearing this bill for the hopefully the final time in this committee. And I will just briefly wrap up so you can all remember a little bit about it. House Bill 33 allows for members of the Board of Fish and Game to deliberate on proposals for which they have declared a personal or financial interest, but the legislation would preclude them from voting on those, so they can just participate in the conversation. Currently, board members are required to divulge a conflict of interest if they or their immediate family members are involved in the subject being deliberated on. The conflicted member can no longer vote and unfortunately cannot speak on the proposal either. So the question is, why would you have someone with an area of expertise unable to participate with their area of expertise? Certainly, it's all understood why you wouldn't allow them to vote if they have an interest in it. We believe that allowing members with the expertise to deliberate will make the boards more informed, lead to stronger resource management statewide, and align the process with intent as far as the boards benefiting from the members' knowledge and diversity of viewpoints. It will also encourage more qualified applicants to put their name forward if they know they can contribute to the conversation and not be conflicted out. This legislation simply addresses a fairness and issues that levels the playing field for all user groups and allows the board members to impart their expertise during final deliberations. And Madam Chair and board members, I would be happy, or committee members, I should say, I would be happy to answer any additional questions if you have any.
Any questions from the committee members? I see none. With that, Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 33, version 34-Lima Sierra 0328/alpha from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 33 is moved from committee. Brief at ease.
Madam Chair, committee.
I call the committee back to order at 1:42 p.m. Excuse me. Our final agenda item is Senate Bill 230, Jonesville Public Use Area, by Senator Rauscher. Senator, welcome to the committee. If you could come forward, put yourselves on the record, and introduce your bill. You're joined by your staff, Craig Valdez, today. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Mary. For the record, my name is Representative Senator George Rauscher, District O. And I'd like to thank the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee for hearing Senate Bill 230. Before Diesel Cole ran the steamships, the war effort, he did the cities of Anchorage and Palmer, and put the town of Sutton, Alaska, on the map as the biggest supplier of coal available. As Diesel replaced coal, and soon Evans Jones closed down his coal mine, located just a few thousand feet above the town of Sutton, Alaska. The mine, workers living in Mr. Jones's self-named area called Jonesville, now populated the town of Sutton. The town grew into what it is today along the Glen Highway, north of Palmer. In 2008, the Mining Reclamation Act of 1977 gave the state of Alaska $9 million, which they put forward towards reclamation of the Jonesville coal mining area, where the strip mining and the tunnel shafts were vacated. The project, led by Joe Werman of the DNR, put out the still smoldering underground coal fires, flattened the old landing strip for airplanes, and placed 20 campsites along it. The project included widening and fortifying the web of coal mining trails to build solid gravel roads, accommodating large motor homes and parking areas for the thousands of visitors expected to use the area in the future. Inviting everyone to come and enjoy the 14,614 acres of abandoned coal mining leases. The one thing the state did not do for the thousands of new visitors was design a management plan, as asked for by the Sutton Community Council back then. The Jim Creek area in the Butte just underwent a management plan to stop the lawlessness of car burning, shooting all hours of the night in all directions, garbage dumping, drug parties, where hikers and four-wheelers were all in danger of crossing. So this newly designed area right above the town of Sutton was now the new dumping ground for cars to be hauled up there and burned, shot up, garbage to be dumped everywhere, trees to be mowed down by semi-automatic and automatic weapons and tannerite bombs. Bullets were now hitting cars and houses of folks living as far away as a mile from the area and as close to a few thousand feet. Bathrooms placed in the area were shot to pieces. Porta potties were thrown in the lakes. Drugs, needles were everywhere. Boats were set on fire to burn in the lakes while floating. The pavilion that was placed by the Matsu Burrow was shot until there was nothing left of the uprights that held it up, and it had to be removed. The cement outhouse had to be shot up, or was shot up and had to be removed by the Matsu Burrow. The area in that camping area had to be completely disassembled and taken away. Every year, the members of the community of Sutton clean the mess up in the spring at their own cost. Usability Coal Mine, Cruise Construction, has helped the cleanup in the past. As many as 8 20-foot containers of garbage and other flatbeds of burned cars would be removed each year in the beginning of the cleanup, just 4 years after the work to reestablish the area was completed by the DNR. Fast forwarding, in 2018, HB 6 was passed by unanimous 60 votes, which allowed the Jonesville area to become a public use area, which could now have its needed management plan written by the DNR. We'll never give the life back to the man who was killed by mistake or wandered unknowingly between a shooter and his target, or to help the teenager who received a stray bullet in the leg while a group of kids were having fun up there, or to help the little kids that got hit by out-of-control four-wheelers in the camping area. But hopefully the residents a few hundred feet away can stop living in fear of stray bullets hitting their houses and Tannerite bombs going off all hours of the night and blowing up cars and trees. So what does this bill do? SB 230. One piece of state land was accidentally left off the survey by the DNR. Okay, it gave us in HB 26. So when that legislation was passed, it's on the map in your folder. It's right near the lake, contains part of the clear gravel area, and is closer to the private land and houses than the bulk of the area included in the Jonesville public use area now. And the area that will be managed and the Jonesville public area must also manage this area itself. It's not that this creates a dangerous situation. Oh, if it doesn't happen, this creates a dangerous situation for the campers in the area and the nearby homeowners. It escapes the no trash, no dumping regulations, no shooting allowed to go leave the area, the craziness. It escapes all that if it's not included. I hope the committee will see the importance of this bill passing and working with the members of the community of Sutton to ensure that the Jonesville public use area and their work for safety and the safety and peace of mind of the community members will be assured. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Rauscher. Are there questions from the committee members?
Do we have invited testimony?
There is no invited testimony on this bill. Senator Dunbar.
Madam Chair, is there someone here from DNR to ask questions about this?
They're here.
It looks like we have Christy Coles, the Director of Land and Mining.
Mining, Land, and Water. Is this an appropriate time to do that, or is there something further?
No, that would Senator be wonderful. Rauscher. Ms. Coles, are you available? Please place yourself on the record.
Yes, for the record, this is Christy Collis, the Director for the Division of Mining, Land, and Water.
Thank you, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Director. So I'm looking at this map that was provided in our packet of the Jonesville public use area, and I'm just trying to understand exactly what is the section we are adding. I see C Detail A and C Detail B. I'm not sure if this was provided by your department or if this came from somewhere else, but are those the two areas that are being added, or is there a different – am I misreading this map?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, so the Detail A, that is the one being added,
okay.
And we actually are removing under Detail B. That's actually borough land, so it's a technical error and needs to be cleaned up. But that would just be the removal. But Detail A is really where the focus is for trying to include a very main area that people recreate on. People like to camp there, park there. It's access to Flipper Lake. And it got missed in the original legal description for the Jonesville area.
Very good. Follow up, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Ms. Coles. So, Coles, I'm not sure if you were involved in drafting this legislation or if it was a different department, but I'm trying to understand because the section one of this bill, it looks like we are adding a whole new sort of section, but I thought we were just amending an existing public use area. Can you help me understand that? Like I would expect it to be a smaller addition or perhaps just, you know, underline bold statement, but it seems like it seems rather large. Can you explain that?
Through the chair, Senator Dunbar, yes, it should just be section 21. If you see, it's the north half, northwest quarter. So it's not the entire section. We're just adding it to the current legal description. And it should be, the one I'm looking at should be bolded and underlined for what we're adding.
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Valdez might have a statement.
For the record, Craig Valdez, staff to Senator Rauscher. It'd be
line 24.
Page 2, line 24 is the entirety of the bill, effectively. That is just being added to the rest of the legal description for the public use area.
Okay. Wow, you know what? I might be looking at an old version of the bill. So this says...
We'll take a brief at ease. I call the committee to order at 1:55 p.m. Senator Dunbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Mr. Valdez for his statement and apologize to Ms. Colas. I was looking at the old version of this bill, which was also sponsored by then-Representative Rauscher, that passed House Bill 6 from a number of years ago. And so that was where the confusion came from. I had a chance to look at the new Senate bill, and it all makes sense to me. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dunbar. Any further questions? Senator Yount.
No questions, just some comments. So this was the first thing we took up through the chair. I'm sorry. So the first thing we took up on the assembly when I got elected there 6 years ago. And I delayed this because I had a lot of questions. It was my first time looking at a public use agreement. And there was a lot of very upset people with me, including the assemblyman. And I don't blame them, but we hashed through all the issues. It is a fantastic piece of legislation. I thank you for that. And it's what brought my family to the Valley from back east. So I'm very distantly related to Jones. It's actually my cousin's great-grandpa. And so the Teeland store in Wasilla was their granddaughter. They had the best treats ever at Halloween. Like, we got everything when we went there. But, that's what brought the Jones are who brought our family here from back east for mining. It's pretty cool. And this community really, 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 really needs this. This public use agreement is going to be an awesome thing. So I thank you for bringing that forward, and I hope you get it done, sir.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Yount. And I will exempt you from having to declare a conflict of interest on Senate Bill 230. With that, we will move to public testimony. I open public testimony on Senate Bill 230. Is there anyone online wishing to testify? Seeing none, we will go to the room. First up in the room, we have Lois Repnow. What about Hakeda Repnow? Okay. Annalise Barney. We'll take a brief at ease. I call the committee back to order at 1:58 p.m. Here to represent the Rep Knows is Tybee. Welcome, Tybee, to the committee. If you could come forward, place yourself on the record, and share your testimony with us.
So, hello. My name is Tybee Repno, and our family has gone to that area for quite a few years now to have fun and stuff. And a lot of times, like, there's like shooting and stuff that goes on there, and it gets out of hand a lot. And so I think this will really help kind of keep that under control, because like one time, like there was this one guy, and he came out in like this Jeep, and he started spinning cookies and like throwing rocks the size of that around. And yeah, and I think this will really help.
Great. Thank you, Tybee. Any questions? Seeing none, we appreciate you coming and testifying for us today. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we will close public testimony. Any questions or comments from committee members? Senator Rauscher, closing comments?
Yeah, again, I appreciate you all for hearing this bill. This is real important to the community. The damage that has been done in the past and presently is pretty amazing. If you had to live, like I say, a couple thousand feet from the area, the Tannerite bombs going off at 2 a.m., knocking you out of your bed, just knocking trees over, blowing cars up. They'll group these things together, and it takes a projectile from a rifle to set them off, and then it's a really loud explosion, which does a lot of damage. They mow trees down. I have guns. I am not against guns, okay? I appreciate guns. I like people who care about the direction they shoot. But this area, they have no idea where the houses are. And it's not their fault, but there's no signage, there's no management, because you can't do that to the entire state of Alaska. So this area is now a defined management area where this can actually happen, and this can be the mayhem could be averted.
Thank you, Senator Rauscher. With nothing further, we will set Senate Bill 230 aside, and this concludes our agenda for this afternoon. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, February 24th, 2026, at 1:30 p.m. And with that, at 2 p.m., we are adjourned.